4, sages, teachings, Eku, etc. Text number 31. Tanikasya samasthanam.
Tanikasya samasthanam.
Anadaram kalam.
Anadaram kalam.
Gangam hitaya
sanyamvas. Gangam hitaya sanyamvas.
Satchatya yati sudaye.
Satchatya yati sudaye.
Tanikasya samasthanam. Proximity. Atra. Here in this world. Madchanam. For mortals. Anadharana. Of disregard. Karanam. A cause. Gangam. The water of the Ganges. Hitva. Leading. Yata,
yata,
as,
yes.
Anya,
anya,
other,
ambaha,
to water,
tachachaha,
one who lives near it, yati,
yati,
goes,
sutaye,
for purification.
Purification.
Translation. In this world, familiarity breeds contempt. For example, one who lives on the banks of the Ganges might travel to some other body of water to be purified. Probably the next verse as well. Sato yasmascha gunato nakutaschana rishati tam krishikarma peripaka guna pravahai ravya tannu bhavam vishwaram avittiham tanaribisha vibhavai upagudham manya manyita suryam iva megahimo karaghai. Translation. The Supreme Lord's awareness is never disturbed by time. By the creation and destruction of the universe, by changes in its own qualities, or by anything else, whether self-caused or external. But, although the consciousness of the personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme One without a second, is never affected by material distress, by the reactions of material work or by the constant flow of nature's modes, ordinary persons nonetheless think that the Lord is covered by his own creations of prana and other material elements, just as one may think that the sun is covered by clouds, snow, or an eclipse. Purport. Things of this world are inevitably destroyed by one means or another. Time itself causes the eventual decay of every created being. A fruit, for instance, may grow ripe, but then must either rot or be eaten. Some things, like lightning, destroy themselves as soon as they are manifested, while others are destroyed suddenly by external agents, as a clay pot is by a hammer. Even in living bodies and other things, whose existence continues for some time, there is a constant flux of various qualities that are destroyed and replaced by others. In contrast to all of this, the Supreme Personality of Godhead's awareness is never disrupted by anything. Only out of ignorance could one imagine him to be an ordinary human being subject to material conditions. Mortal beings are covered by their entanglement in fruitive activities and their consequent happiness and distress, but the Supreme Lord cannot be covered by what are in fact his own expansions. Analogously, the universe, the immense sun, is the source of the relatively insignificant phenomena of clouds, snow and eclipses, and so it cannot be covered by them, though the ordinary observer may think that it is. So here, Narada Muni is continuing to speak to Vasudeva on behalf of all the assembled sages at Kurukshetra. And as described in the previous day's verse, that Narada Muni was saying that, O Brahmanas, it is not so amazing that in his eagerness to know, Vasudeva has asked us about his ultimate benefit, for he considers Krishna a mere boy. So then, continuing this same mood, he is saying that in this world familiarity breeds contempt. For example, one who lives on the bank of the Ganges might travel to some other body of water to be purified. So, of course, Narada Muni is, he understands perfectly well that Vasudeva has known that Krishna is the Supreme Lord since Krishna's very birth. at the same time, he understands that because of Vasudeva's immense prema, his great love for Krishna, that he also treats him as his son. So these two factors are there. Narada Muni is well aware of that. But in his instructions here, Narada Muni is not so much addressing that particular aspect, but he's actually keeping that part of the confidential mood of Srila Vyasadeva's intimate, ecstatic, loving relationship with Krishna confidential. And he's speaking in such a way as if he was speaking to the ordinary man. The ordinary man who does actually forget that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here, Vasudeva, of course, is in the presence of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in the presence of God, you wouldn't really need to take instruction from somewhere else. You just turn to God and all the instruction that you would want, you know, unlimitedly, perfectly, would be there. So that is but there is no fault on behalf of Vasudeva, of course, because he is not taking that instruction from Krishna, as I said, because of his intense love, which he also considers Krishna as a boy. but Krishna's knowledge, in any circumstance, even though he appears as a small boy, is never second to any other consideration factually. So therefore, Narada Muni is explaining that if there's any real criticism, of course, it goes to the ordinary person who are always forgetful of the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how his knowledge is never ever corrupted or diminished or decreased in any way. Generally, they think that because Krishna appears in the material world in the form and takes the form of an ordinary human being, therefore, somehow or another, his godhood has been diminished. So when people see Krishna as a small cowherd boy who is very much dependent upon his mother and father in so many different ways, sometimes as a young child, Krishna will be carrying the slippers for his father, bringing them, and in this way, acting like an ordinary child. So the ordinary people, they think that because Krishna has taken this subordinate role to his father, to his mother, to so many other different people that he takes a subordinate role to in Vrindavan, therefore that somehow his position as the Supreme Lord has been diminished. So in these two verses here, Narada Muni actually explains that that is not the case. So in text 32 and 33, he's saying that the Supreme Lord's awareness is never disturbed by time, by the creation and destruction of the universe. So for us, of course, over the course of time, we cannot, our knowledge is actually distorted. We find this especially as we get a little older, and it becomes a little harder. My own spiritual master says that just with age, it just becomes harder to remember those slokas and different things. You can see young children, you can teach them a sloka, a verse, and within about a couple of minutes, they've picked it up. You ask them next week and they still remember it, whereas as you get a little older, the verses that you've already learned, that's very hard to sort of remember them, harder to learn new verses. So time has that effect. Also, we see that by taking another birth, so because there's a new creation of our particular body and the destruction of the old body, that therefore we cannot remember our previous life. And in our previous life we had so many important things to do, just as we do now. We had relatives, friends, lovers, enemies, and each and every one of these took up our complete consciousness and all our thoughts 24 hours a day. We had our goals, we had our ambitions, just as we have them now. We can, each and every one of us has something, within our mind that's taking up our consciousness today, and we're fully absorbed in that. It is our very life and soul, so many things. Hopefully that's Krishna consciousness. But, so many of the different external things that are actually taking up our consciousness now, in our next life we will completely forget. But that is not the case with Krishna. Krishna, even though he appeared millions and millions of years ago within this universe, and even in previous universes, and he has done that since time immemorial, he perfectly remembers all the births that he has, that he has had. He has full consciousness, and his understanding, he is the oldest person. Krishna is understood to be the original person and the oldest person. And yet, his consciousness is just like that of a fresh young youth. His knowledge is never ever diminished. So other things, for instance, we may perform some activities in this lifetime whereby our knowledge according to our karma may be increased or decreased. Just like in the for those who practice astrology, Parasara Muni says in the Harasastra that if one practices astrology and uses it for sense gratification, or uses it in such a way to, you know, harm other people, then in the next life they're actually born blind, and you know, their ability to gather knowledge, to gain knowledge, is vastly reduced. In the same way, if we actually utilize our knowledge for the benefit of others, then in the next life we actually award it again with knowledge, because it hasn't been misused. In fact, our knowledge can increase. But Krishna's knowledge is not like that. We see that Krishna killed so many demons. Krishna sometimes appears to break the laws of ordinary mundane morality. Sometimes we see in the Battle of Kurukshetra, you know, he didn't always follow the Kshatriya codes, because he knew that by sometimes the only way that Arjuna would win is if, you know, Krishna somehow cheated a little bit. So one would expect, therefore, that in his next life, because of Krishna, you know, apparently performing impious activities, perhaps in his next life he would not be able to speak Bhagavad Gita. You know, so that is, but that doesn't actually affect Krishna. Krishna is not affected in that way. He's not affected by any reactions to material activities, because he is in fact the controller of the material energy, and his knowledge is always perfect and complete. In so many different ways here, we see that, for instance, another way that our knowledge can be affected, even in this life, we see that sometimes people become angry, or even very lusty, as is described in the Bhagavad Gita, that when one's consciousness becomes covered by lust, it destroys the knowledge, one's knowledge of one's own self, one's own spiritual nature. And that is something that everyone has the experience when they become absorbed in, you know, lusty desires, and, you know, even if it escalates to anger, that immediately we forget our own spiritual nature. That consciousness is covered by the various, you know, our various attachments and anger and envy, these things like that. But Krishna also, he also manifests many of these different qualities, but on a transcendental platform. Sometimes Krishna appears to become bewildered, sometimes Krishna appears to be, you know, very lusty, sometimes Krishna you know, appears to have these various emotions. Of course, they are manifested in a transcendental way for Krishna, but at the same time his full knowledge is always prevails. Sometimes Krishna even forgets, because of the intensity of his pastimes, he actually becomes so absorbed in those pastimes that he forgets the conception of his own godhood. And at the same time that he forgets that, because he's so absorbed in his pastimes, he is completely aware of all of creation, simultaneously. So, there is a vast distinction here. Narada Muni is pointing out that there is actually a vast distinction between the living entity, who is his consciousness and knowledge, is subject to destruction, reduction, it increases, decreases, according to so many different activities that are going on in the material world. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is not like that. And therefore, Narada Muni is making the point that under all circumstances, he is God, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his knowledge is always full and complete. So Narada Muni, of course, is he's also making a strong point to glorify Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because, in another sense, as was previously described, there is a slightly embarrassing situation that they can't neglect to answer Vasudeva's questions, but at the same time the Supreme Personality of Godhead is standing there present before them, and so they certainly don't want to insult Krishna. So in this way, Krishna, Narada Muni, is answering Vasudeva's questions, but he is doing it in such a way that he is very much glorifying Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so in no way is Krishna being neglected. So this is very nice etiquette on behalf of Narada Muni. And we sometimes see that we can be faced with situations in which it sometimes appears that we have to, in order to even do our service as devotees, it sometimes appears that we have to forego etiquette in order for us to do our service. And actually each and every one of us gets tested like this. In the same way, in one sense, to interact with these great sages and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is no ordinary thing. It actually takes, one has to utilize the topmost intelligence. Of course, that intelligence is being provided by Krishna for those who are sincere. Narada Muni is actually being guided from within and from without by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But actually we all will come across situations like this where we actually think there is no other recourse. I have to do something that's very important in my service, and therefore in order to be successful in that service, I will have to forego the usual etiquette, and I might have to step on a few toes and ruffle a few feathers and do this. So that course of action is not taken by actual devotees. Although sometimes we actually feel that I have no real choice in this matter, there's no other way but just to forget the etiquette, I'm just going to have to disturb some people. Devotees. That course of action is not taken by devotees. Devotees are, they are given the ability to satisfy all the different personalities involved. Actually, one time, Srila Prabhupada was, there was a conversation where devotees were discussing some particular issue, and there were, you know, about 10 devotees or so who were presenting one side, and another devotee was presenting some strong arguments on the other side. And after some time, Srila Prabhupada intervened and explained that, you know, although in one sense, you know, there are many strong arguments on both sides, but when the majority of devotees are going in this direction, then the general etiquette would be to take that direction as well. So, even sometimes one may be correct, but sometimes you see that sometimes a devotee has it's not that their opinion is wrong, but at the same time, as a general etiquette, it's good to keep a very, very cooperative mood amongst all the devotees as a higher principle of Krishna consciousness, because that was always very pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, and it still is very pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. It's also very pleasing to the deities when we actually perform our devotional service in that mood. So, the Radha Muni here is glorifying Krishna. And the examples given here are that to describe how Krishna's consciousness is so powerful, so unlimited, you know, even some material examples can be given. For instance, with the sun. Now, ordinary people think that Krishna, he appears in the material world, and his consciousness becomes covered by his own material creation. That Krishna appears in the material world, and because of that, he is covered by his own creation. But factually, this is like saying that the sun, which creates the such things as the clouds, snow, rain, eclipses, all created by the sun. One may, although the sun appears to be invisible when such things are there, actually the sun is not covered. The sun doesn't become covered by a cloud. If we imagine, you know, the situation of the sun, it is situated far, far, far in the, away from the Earth, something like 93 million miles, according to Western calculations. And here on this planet is a tiny little cloud, which for us appears to be immense because we are so tiny. Because we are so tiny, the little clouds, they appear to, you know, go for so long. But from the perspective of the sun, is barely a spot. Maybe a spot on a spot. Is insignificant. It is just an absolute ludicrous conception to consider that a cloud is covering the sun. But that's how it appears. And in the same way, if we take the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his consciousness, his knowledge is so unlimited and so perfect, and this whole material creation, of which there are millions and billions and billions of universes, is just like this cloud in the spiritual sky. It is not possible to cover the consciousness of the Supreme Lord. Similarly, with eclipses, sometimes you know, it appears that when there's an eclipse, of course we know that it is Rahu moving in front of the sun and causes the eclipse. So Rahu, that darkness Actually, Shilabhishita Nachakrabarti, the court describes the role of Rahu. Most people, when they hear Rahu, they become very, very fearful. You know, especially astrologically, it tells someone they're going through a Rahu period, and they start to, you know, shake. Actually, one time Srila Prabhupada was asked about, when he was in Vrindavan, and there was a devotee who had a, he got a kavacha that was a protective talisman against various planetary influences of the various demigods. So, Brahmananda Swami, Vishal, Brahmananda Swami, he saw this pendant on this devotee, and he said to him, you know, what is that? And so the devotee explained to him what it was. So Brahmananda Swami said that he rebuked him, saying that actually, Srila Prabhupada says we don't have to add anything, you know, or reduce anything from this process. This process is complete. So he says you don't need that. So then he, this devotee, Vishal, he then approached Srila Prabhupada and asked him, because Srila Prabhupada asked him where he got the pendant and what the, you know, the astrologer said and what have you. And Srila Prabhupada said to this devotee that if Krishna wants, with one kick, he can kick away hundreds and thousands of Rahu's cases. And, this is, eclipses appear to be, when there is an eclipse, of course, it is a very inauspicious event. Generally, certain eclipses forebode, you know, some mass inauspiciousness. You know, quite often you'll see after eclipses, and there are certain types of eclipses that appear at, you know, with other particular planetary combinations, and they generally forebode, you know, some sort of mass catastrophes. You see that there are some wars or some volcanoes erupt, or, you know, there is some, you know, unseasonal weather which causes some destruction, these things like that. But in that sense, Rahu is actually inflicting suffering to very, very sinful types of persons. Generally, with Rahu and Ketu, they deal out the most horrific forms of karma. Usually some of the worst things that can happen to people are usually come under the influence that someone has a very powerfully afflicted Rahu or Ketu, like that, you know, murders, and, you know, very, very sinister. So in this way, Rahu and Ketu are actually offering benediction in the form of very severe punishment to very sinful personalities, and in this way Rahu is placing them in such dark, foreboding circumstances. Through that, they come to understand the and appreciate more the when things are normal. In other words, the light is appreciated after there is darkness. Just like, you know, at the end of a long, long night, we really look forward to the, you know, the light coming up. You appreciate that. So Rahu and Ketu, they have that sort of influence to create such a darkness in a person's life that then the person once again may come to their senses and really appreciate, you know, wholesome existence, or, you know, the light of wholesome existence. So in this way, but as Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna, if he wants, he can kick away hundreds and thousands of Rahus There is no just a little flick, just raising his eyebrows. Those influences certainly cannot affect Krishna, and certainly they cannot affect Krishna's devotees. On the other hand, actually there was one letter which Srila Prabhupada wrote to another disciple who was again asking about the influences of astrological influences and planetary influences. And Srila Prabhupada also was saying the same thing, that by Krishna's grace, what he does is he, all that karma from so many, many lifetimes which is there represented in an astrological chart, it is reduced to just, Krishna reduces it to just a summary punishment. So just a tiny little taste of what would have been some hundreds of years of suffering or what have you. And Krishna would just give a little pinprick, just for a moment, rather than so many lifetimes of suffering. But then Prabhupada said, but if a devotee gives up their devotional activities, then they get all of what was destined. So in that way, certainly Krishna is unaffected by all these things, although they appear to cover Krishna. So, Narada Muni, he is explaining that actually all living entities, they are in forgetfulness of the actual position of God. They are actually at fault. This verse here by Narada is actually directed towards all living entities who are actually forgetting and ignoring God, even though He's personally present. And even when He's personally present, even if they accept His presence, they ignore His actual omnipotence, His